Evening. Glad to see everyone back out with us this evening. Have some great news. When everyone left this afternoon, I was having a short Bible study with Miss Laura Troncoso. She's sitting up here with Mary, and at the conclusion of our study, she decided that she wanted to obey the gospel. So we have added a new sister in Christ. So if you will tonight, be sure that you say hello to Miss Laura. And welcome her into our family here at 9th and Main. I was also called, as many of you already know, Brother David Bodecker, obeyed the gospel this past Monday. I received a call Monday afternoon giving me the good news about Brother David. And so I'm so happy that we have a new brother and sister in Christ over the past week. You will be taking your Bible and turning to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings 13. Going to be examining this chapter this evening. I want to notice several things out of the chapter. Well, first of all, we're going to go through parts of the text. 1 Kings chapter 13. Begin reading with me, if you will, in verse 1. Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord into Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass. When King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord, thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. The man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way he came to Bethel. Here in this time frame, we see that Solomon has died. Jeroboam and Israel request that Rehoboam lighten the load of Israel. Rehoboam would not lighten the workload, and so the northern kingdoms secede. Or the northern tribes rather secede, and Jeroboam begins to be their ruler, their king. So he rules over Israel, Rehoboam rules over Judah. So now we have a divided kingdom. Never again would the two kingdoms be ruled by a single king. They would never come together again by a single king until Jesus Christ established the church. Now, we've looked at this text, verses 1 through 10. The prophet was told by God to go and cry against the altar. He does just that. He goes out, and as Jeroboam is offering incense there in Bethel, he cries out against the altar. If we go back to chapter 12 and you were to look at verse 32... you see that the altar was being used for idolatrous sacrifices. If you go back a little bit further into chapter 12, verses 26 to 28, you read that the people were to go where? Jerusalem. They were to go to the temple for sacrifices. However, Jeroboam, not wanting the people to go back after Rehoboam, when he devised his plan, we'll set up an altar in Dan, we'll set up one in Bethel, and we'll be all right. People will stay here. They will never go back to Jerusalem for anything. So he caused the people to sin. Notice also that the prophet here, verses 1 through 3, prophesies the coming of a future king of Judah, whose name is Josiah. This event was prophesied some 340 years before Josiah would come. Verses 4 through 6, we see Jeroboam speaking against the will of God, speaking against God's will, speaking against the prophet. And so he reaches out his hand, wanting to take hold on the prophet, on the young man of God. and his arm dries up. He's not able to pull it in again to his body. So Jeroboam, now fearful of the Lord, fearful of this prophet, he asked for restoration to his arm. It's mindful of Hezekiah's request of Isaiah at the siege of Jerusalem in 2 Kings chapter 19. We have the prophet's prayer, Jeroboam's arm being restored. In verses 7 through 10, we read there of an invitation to the king's home. And we see the prophet's response. The prophet is having none of it. The prophet refuses. He was told by God not to eat, drink, or any of these things and return, not to return the same way. He's not to go by. He is to go straight back home. What do we learn from that? Well, let's look at this. We notice that we are to follow God's commands. God's commands are plain. They're understandable. It takes no great amount of thought to follow the plan of God. God has set it out plainly for us. In John 7 and verse 17, we read, if any man willeth to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak for myself. Ephesians 3:3-4, how that by revelation was made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, whereby, when you read, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ. Ephesians 5 and verse 17, wherefore be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul preached, told the Corinthians that he was not speaking with the wisdom of words. He was speaking the simple gospel. It's simple. He's given us the simple will, his mind. He's given it to us for us to follow. It's easy to understand. We can know what his will is for us. Notice also that not only are God's commands simple, when he told this prophet, he gave him simple directions. You go and cry against the altar. When you're done, go straight home. But don't go home by the way that you already came. You go home a different way. And you do not eat and you do not drink until you get there. How many people misunderstood that? Shouldn't. You go straight home, take a different way to get there. You don't eat, you don't drink. Simple. That's God's commands. They're simple. Also notice that God's commands are to be strictly applied. Where else can we learn this? Genesis chapter 2, Adam and Eve were told that they could freely eat of the garden except for what? One tree. Simple. And we see that there are consequences when they're not followed. His commands are to be strictly applied. Lot's wife, Genesis 19, they were to go. They were to flee and not look back. Simple command. She looked back. You see the consequences. Naaman, 2 Kings chapter 5. We've talked about this account of Naaman a couple of times. Naaman was to go and wash in the Jordan how many times? Seven. Seven times. He was not clean on the sixth time, but on the seventh, right? When he came up. Strictly apply the will of God. In the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, we are only to worry about what the Lord says, not what some man says. 2 John and verse 9, we are not to go beyond what God teaches. We are to strictly apply His commands. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, when one speaks, we are to speak as the oracles of God. That is, what are we to speak? The Word. The will of God. We are to preach the Bible and nothing else. Isn't that simple? God's commands are to be strictly applied. Notice also Galatians 6, 7 and 8, and this is we're getting ahead of ourselves with this, but to give us something to think about. We're going to reap what we sow. And I guess we can look at Jeroboam and we can see that he's already reaping what he has sown. In Numbers 32 and verse 23, people there, it said of them, be sure your sin will find you out. Friends, our sins are going to find us out. It may not be in this life. But if we don't make things right with God, if we don't repent of our sin, if we're not a member of the Lord's church, and we don't do what God has asked us to do, what He has told us to do, our sin will find us out. We will have consequences to pay. Adam and Eve could not hide in the garden, could they? God knew where they were. Gehazi, we talked about Gehazi a couple of weeks ago. Elisha knew what he had done before he ever made up the lie. And he was given the leprosy that Naaman had. Ahab, by not killing Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. My friends, if we will realize that God's word is simple, if we will remember that His word is to be strictly applied, not varying in any degree, and that our sin will find us out, it's going to help us, isn't it? Understanding the will of God. Knowing that we must do what's right. And knowing that there are consequences if we do stumble and we don't repent. Let's look at some more of this text. There in verse 11, really 11 through 34, we won't take the time to read it. We'll just kind of break it down. 11 through 19, we have an old prophet or an old man of God coming to deceive now this young prophet. Notice verse 11. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also their father. This piques his interest. This old prophet now wants to meet this young man. And so he goes out, and he's going to talk with him. Verse 12. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. So he wants to know where he went, and he's going to go out and meet him. So he takes his beast, he goes out to meet this young man. And the old prophet deceives him. See, the young prophet tells the old prophet, no, after the old prophet has told him, you come eat with me, come and sit at my table. The young man says, no, I can't do that. You see, the word of God has come to me and told me that I am not to eat or drink until I come back home. So it wouldn't be right for me to go with you. Now he recognizes that this older man is a prophet, no less, because the old man says, I too am a man of God. Tells him right there. And he says, the word of God came to me, told you to come eat with me. What's the problem with that? You see, the word of God hadn't come to the old prophet, had it? God hadn't said any such thing to this prophet. So what we have here is a lie. He deceived. The man of God decides to accept that deception. And he goes and he eats. And while they're sitting there eating, the old prophet begins to prophesy. Basically, what he tells this young man is, because you obey not the word of the Lord, you're going to die. And he tells him how he's going to die. He was deceived. He believed a lie. Verses 20 to 25, we see then the man of God is killed by a line. We read in James 2, 13 through 14, when that man decides to accept the deception of the old man, James says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempted no man. That's rather James 1, 13 and 14. But each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. I imagine the man was hungry. He traveled a great distance. He was thirsty, no doubt. And so when this old prophet came to him, even though he himself had not heard again from God, and telling him that it's okay to go and do this, temptation is just too great. And he goes and he sits down at this table. He's prophesied, he's told he's going to be killed by a lion. Indeed, he is killed. But I want us to notice, the lesson that I want us to learn from that is that the belief of a lie condemns. There are many, many, many souls in the world today that have been deceived They believed a lie. And my friend, they're just as lost as was this young prophet because he believed a lie. He was deceived. John 8 and verse 32, we read, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. My friend, we need to be sure that what we're being taught is the truth, that what we're being indoctrinated with is the truth. We need to look at the Bible. We need to look at the Word of God. We need to study it and know it and put it in our hearts. I told you many times from the pulpit, but when I announce a scripture and I hear the pages turning, my friend, that is music to my ears. It really is. And I hope and trust that you do that with any man that professes to be preaching the gospel of Christ. To check whether those things are so, as were the Bereans. The belief of a lie will condemn someone. Also notice verses 26 to 34 that God's will cannot be thwarted. It cannot be put down. The prophecy concerning the destruction of the altar came true, as we read in these verses. The prophecy of the man of God has come true regarding his grave, as you'll read there in those verses. And the kingdom prophecy concerning Josiah came true few hundred years later. God will accomplish his will. The old prophet, we look at this and we see that he's remorseful, but he must deal with the consequences. He must realize that it was he that cost this man his life. And the young prophet had to deal with the consequences as well. It was he that was going to suffer and die because of his disobedience. Let's remember, friends, that we don't need to be like this young prophet. We need to remember that in all things. You see, he had done it once with Jeroboam. Remembered the word of the Lord and did everything up to that point that was required of him. But then when it came to the old man of God, the old prophet of God, he threw caution to the wind, and it cost him his life. Spiritually speaking, we need to remember that the belief of a lie is still going to condemn us. Let's remember that. Let's remember that to the point that we want to go out and tell people the truth. I'm sure we have friends and family that are not members of the Lord's body. That may be believing a lie even at this point. That they're saved without the Word of God. They believed in the Word of man. Well, how can we make sense of 1 Kings 13? And friend, we need to realize that all of God's commands are important. All of them. Matthew 23 and verse 23 says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye tithe mint and anise and cumin and have left undone the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith, but these ye ought to have done, not to have left the other undone." Must do all things according to the law of the Lord. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Of course, Jesus giving the Great Commission. "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe" how many things? All things. How many does that leave out? Not a one. Not a one. "Commanding them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world," or "into the age." Amen. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 33, we read, "Forthwith therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present in the sight of God to hear all things that have been commanded thee of the Lord." Everything that God commands us to do is important. We must observe those things. And then we see, making sense of 1 Kings 13 in our lives in 2 points. First of all, we said all God's commands are important. Second of all, the consequences of disobedience of God's will, we need to learn those. We see that with the young prophet, do we not? He disobeyed God's will and it cost him his life. Matthew 25 and verse 41, we read, "Then shall he say unto them also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels." Consequences, if not made right, are grievous. Eternal separation from God the Father. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, we read, "And to you that are afflicted, rest with us. At the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might." Consequences. Romans 2, 8 and 9. We read, "But unto them that are factious, and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that worketh evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek." Consequences. Friend, are we aware of the consequences of disobedience unto God? I hope that we are. We'll be putting away your Bible. Ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. We look at this life of the man of God, and we see that he started out in God. He did everything up to a point that God wanted him to do. His life was a jagged path. He went one way to Bethel, was to return home another. He did not follow the path of the Lord, however. He fell by the wayside. He went in to a man simply because he said, "I too am a man of God." You think about that. He turned down a king. And just because someone professed to know the Word of God, he followed after him. Blindly. Let's not follow after some man blindly. Let's be sure that what he says is true. But he never made it home. This man of God didn't. Let me ask you this question, my friend. Will you make it home? If the Lord were to come now, would you be at home with Him? My friend, if you're here this night, you're not a member of the Lord's church. You haven't been added to His body. Will you do that tonight? Will you confess Him before men? Will you repent of your sin, confess Him before men, and be baptized for the remission of your sin? Will you do that tonight? If so, my friend, everything's ready. There's nothing to hinder you from obeying the gospel this night. It may be that you're here and you've done those things necessary to be added to the Lord's church, but you've fallen away. Will you come home? Will you do so now as we stand and as we sing?